Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of God's word which we hear this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Philippians, the third chapter, beginning at verse 7. But those things which I counted as gain, I now consider as a loss for Christ. Yes, I would even say that I consider everything as a loss because it is so much better to know Christ Jesus my Lord. For him I have lost everything and consider it rubbish in order to gain Christ and to be found in him, not having my own righteousness which comes from keeping the law, but having the righteousness which is through faith in Christ and which comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know him, both the power of his resurrection and the close relationship that we have with his suffering, as we are made like him in his death, if somehow I may join those who rise from the dead. Thus far the text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Make us holy through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. Do you consider yourself a narcissist? Narcissus was a figure in Greek mythology who, after resisting the advances of the nymph Echo, fell in love with his own reflection in a pool of water. He lay there continuously gazing at his reflection, falling deeper and deeper into love with himself, and lay there long enough to where finally he turned into a flower. The narcissus. So are you so self-involved and self-absorbed to be considered a narcissist? Well, maybe you wouldn't be clinically diagnosed as such, but think about your typical day. How much of your day is spent revolving around you, what you think, what you want, what you prefer, with everything else just fading into the background? How much of your time do you spend staring into your own little handheld pool of water, comparing yourself to others, taking selfies so that you can show how incredible your life is compared to others, checking to see if your amazing insights are being retweeted? Are all of these things what matter most to you? Well, let's talk about somebody else for just a moment. St. Paul. St. Paul, just before the words of our text, well, it was very clear that he was pretty proud of himself. In fact, he was making this list that could have been a good list for hashtag top Jew. He said he was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Now, did you catch that last one? As to righteousness under the law, blameless. When Paul looked at himself in the mirror of God's law, he saw a perfect man. He saw someone who kept all of God's law, all of the moral law, the Ten Commandments and such, all of the ceremonial law, the law having to do with the worship life of his people, with fasting, etc. All of the laws that had been created by the Jews between the time of the end of the Old Testament and Paul's day, all of these things he figured that he kept. There was no one who was a better follower of God. Until he met Jesus. And really, that's kind of an understatement. Until, we should say, Jesus appeared to him and struck him blind. You'll recall, Paul was on his way to Damascus to persecute more Christians. And Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, appeared to him. And when Paul had been convinced that this Jesus was truly the Messiah, his Messiah, well, then his priorities changed. He says, those things which I counted as gain, all of those things that he had listed, those things I now consider as a loss for Christ. All of those outward things, all of that looking good in other people's eyes and looking good in God's eyes, all of that didn't mean anything any longer. So can you say with Paul, "For Jesus, I have lost everything and consider it rubbish"? Everything? Really? Now, if we were given the choice, if we had to choose between all of the stuff that we have and Jesus, well, obviously we would choose Jesus. But do we show that in our actions? Do we show that in our everyday lives? Maybe you don't think you have that much stuff that gets in the way. But really, that determination is in the eye of the beholder. Go to a poor country and ask those people if you have a lot of stuff. Go to someone in our country who lives out of their car and ask them if you have a lot of stuff. Now, I'm not saying that to make you feel guilty about what you have, but in this country, generally, even middle-class Americans have a lot of stuff. Maybe too much. But it becomes too much if it gets in the way, if it gets in between you and your Lord. If all of your stuff, and for that matter, if all of your accomplishments, all of your accolades are what matter most, then you're in trouble. Not with me, with God. All of those things getting in the way mean that there is sin in your life. And sin brings death. Death for you. Death for anyone who sins. Now, earlier I quoted part of what Paul said about considering these things as rubbish. Here's the rest of what he said there. "For him I have lost everything and consider it rubbish in order to gain Christ and to be found in him, not having my own righteousness which comes from keeping the law, but having the righteousness which comes through faith in Christ." Note well what Paul says. It's not about him. It's not about him and his righteousness. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus and his righteousness that he earned. You think you live a pretty good life? Well, it's nothing, of course, compared to Jesus. He lived a perfect life, never once sinning, never once gazing into the pool, thinking of how wonderful he was. And he lived that life for you. You think you have lived a relatively self-sacrificing life, helping out people where you can? Well, you can't out-sacrifice Jesus. He took all of your shortcomings, all of your sins upon himself, went to the cross and died to take the penalty for those sins, suffering the abandonment of God for you, so that you don't have to die. His love for you is that great. And in that same love, Jesus rose from the dead, showing that he had indeed conquered death and sin. And in the power of his resurrection, he comes to you. He invites you to trust in him, to believe that he gives you the forgiveness of your sins, that he gives you life, eternal life with him in heaven. And that's what Paul ultimately had in view, heaven. He said, "If somehow I may join those who rise from the dead." He wasn't looking at his life and his accomplishments as the basis for his hope. He was looking at his all-powerful Savior who had conquered death for him. You see, that's what matters most. Now, it's not as if nothing else matters at all. You should want to do well in school. You should want to be a good husband or wife or father, mother, brother, whatever position God has put you in. You should want to have a roof over your head and clothes on your back. You should want to do as well as you can with the blessings, the material blessings God has given you. And you can do all of those things without being a narcissist. What matters most is where you are and where you will be, not what you have or what other people think about you. You are with Jesus because he has made you his child through faith. You will be with him in heaven because he has conquered death and the grave. When it comes down to it, Jesus is what matters most. Amen.